with the concept of computers, and we thought they would make our lives easier, and I guess in some ways they do. But sometimes you wonder.
Yeah.
Man. Right when you need one, it's going, oh, I'm doing an update. Well, who asked you? Then nobody asked you to do an update. God don't do you that way, you know. You need him, he's there.
Always.
Just give us 20 minutes, I'm doing a new download. Okay, wow. Amen. In either case, we thank God. We're in the midst of a great celebration. I believe when you celebrate the Lord in worship, that it does something for you. Amen. It's to him, but it's for us. Yeah, it is for us that we worship him, because the blessing comes in the midst of worshiping, giving God your best. Amen. And when you praise him, that's something. And the thing that distinguishes you in that fact is the fact that people who don't believe God, they're not praising him. There's a whole lot of folk outside of this building somewhere doing something, and they are not thinking about God. They don't thank God for their very next breath, because they don't think they need to. And we find that that's an error. I like to thank God for what he is doing in my life every day. Amen.
Amen.
Because he is the only one who is worthy. But see, that's the big difference. That's why Jesus said that these, he was saying as they were praising him, as he was traveling the road, some of the religious folks thought that was a bad thing for his disciples to be giving him praise. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he said, if these don't praise me, the very rocks will cry out. You know, said the rocks will cry out, so I don't want no rocks crying out for me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to go ahead and praise him, because he is worthy to be praised.
He's worthy.
Amen. So it is a very good thing to give God praise. So we're going to move right along. Some of you who have been with us, you know we turned the corner on a previous study that we had been doing on last Lord's Day, and primarily we were talking about some things about stewardship, and the Lord had put it on my heart to talk with the church about family matters and marriage and family. I told you that, and so we turned the corner today, and we have another study that we want to introduce just for the next few lessons. And we believe this will enrich a life. And so we're going to take a look at a few things. Because what we have to do, one of the biggest benefits of studying the Word is you get God's perspective on things.
Right.
Because it doesn't come on CNN or on the Channel 5 or Channel 2 news. What you hear about there is you hear about most of the people, a lot of people who don't necessarily know God. And they make up stuff as they go along. So what we have to do, and the reason why it's very essential for you and I to get together and have meetings like this, which the Lord has called church, has called out people.
Yes.
And so you can hear from God about what the Word says and what God says about particular things. And that's what we discuss here. And so it's a great thing, particularly if you stay in the book like we tend to do here at St. Timothy. We like to get in the book, stay in the book, get on a subject and talk about it until somebody gets some better perspective. And we have to be retooled or reprogrammed, if you will, after we listen to all the foolishness for 6 days in the world. And we come here on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, and we talk about what God says on particular subjects. So what we do is we find that what he says is way out of sync with what they say.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so you and I need to hear from God so we know that we're on the right track and doing the right thing. Amen. And moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a good thing to come to church. You can always get God's perspective on the matter.
Right.
And you can talk to God. You can do it anywhere. We know we teach you that, and we teach you to pray all the time, whether you're at church or not. And in fact, the Bible says pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to pray about everything, everywhere where you are.
That's right.
Even when the world is talking the worldly talk to you and all of that, and giving you worldly ideas and concepts and thoughts, and telling you stuff's okay that God said it isn't,
mm-hmm.
pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Realize you have a purpose. God has scattered you like salt.
Yes.
Into the world. You know, when you're fixing something, you don't put too much salt on it. You just sprinkle a little bit on there, and that makes it taste better, right? And so that's what it is. You're sprinkled into a world that is not thinking about God. And God has put you in a specific spot. It's not like it's a random thing. God has each one of you exactly where he wants you to be.
Amen.
And you should see that. And to me, that blesses my mind to know that the reason I'm here in this situation dealing with this particular thing and is because God put me there.
Yes, he did.
See, he allowed you to be there so you can be his representative.
Right.
Kind of like he did Israel. He had a group of people, 12 tribes, that he called out from among the nations.
Right.
And he put them out there in the world so that they could represent for him.
Right.
And so basically that's what you and I do, and we have more perfect knowledge than Israel did because we have the knowledge of the Messiah, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
whom God has validated by making it known that he is the most famous individual on earth.
Yeah.
And I say that because time is not centered around anyone but Jesus.
Yeah.
And so God did that. He did that, and I believe there's coming a day when someone will attempt to change that and make it so that's not so anymore. The farther away from the truth we fall, the more we see global opposition mounting together to try to make changes. And the Bible speaks of a time when it will come that somebody will try to change times and alter the way time is kept. And so that's something. That is the Antichrist. He's going to want to do that in order to off-center, get Jesus off the throne in the middle of time, or so to speak. And so he can put himself there to deceive those who want to believe a lie, who do not want to believe the truthfulness of God's word. And so you and I, we need to be tuned in. That's what these studies do for you. When you come in and you hear God's word, it tells you what to expect.
Amen.
So you won't be surprised when the announcement comes on CNN. So-and-so just said that we're about to change the way we keep and alter the time records in the world.
Yeah.
You'll go, okay, Pastor said that months ago. So we know what time it is. And you don't have to be shaken nor alarmed when that happens. When you start hearing about prophetic things God has told you coming down and they're coming across, here it is in the paper, exactly what he said. Jesus said, I told you these things before so that you won't, your mind won't be blown when you hear it.
Yes.
That's a modern translation of what he said. You know, I want you to know what's happening ahead of time, and this is what's going to happen. But he said it like this, John 16:33. This is a little off our subject. But he said, these things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. We don't like to hear that. What? Tribulation, Lord? No, in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. He said, even though you're having tribulation, be of good cheer.
Yes.
Why? Because I have overcome the world.
Yes.
See, so you don't need to worry about it. I'm telling you ahead so that in me you might have peace. When you hear it, you can go, Jesus is perfectly right. Here comes the trouble. Thank you, Lord. You can thank God and give him praise. Because he already told me it was coming. I'm going to rejoice in him, even though there's a troublesome thing happening in the world. An anti-Christ thing happening in the world. An ugly thing happening in the world. A damnable, ungodly thing is happening in the world, but Jesus told me to expect it. He said, and in me you'll have peace.
That's right.
That means when it comes, don't you go, oh, what are we going to do? You go, oh, thank you, Lord, for telling me, and I know what's up.
Yes.
See? And so you remain steadfast in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a troubling time.
Yes.
And these times are coming, I guarantee you. Now, we might want to sidestep it and overlook it, but we got all these different things where you see people are making adjustments, and even down to this simple thing that we're talking about in this study, and that is, what is a family? What does God say a family is?
Yeah.
And how do you and I benefit from being in a family? You are in a family anyway, no matter where you are, you have to be, because that's the way God fixed it.
Yes.
He made it that way. You're connected to other people biologically.
Right.
And that makes you a family. Although in the church, there's a higher thing, and we're going to see that in our lesson here today. You and I are brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Right.
And that's a higher thing than the brothers and sisters that I'm connected to by biology and DNA.
Yes, it is.
And we have to understand that. It's a good thing if the biological DNA folks in your life are also saved. That's even better. Because then we can all rejoice together that we are children of the Most High God. But if they happen not to be, then we should understand that if they don't believe, then that's another whole animal altogether, a whole different situation. So we're going to just take a look here today with this new study. We're going to deal with a very valuable topic about marriage and family, and we want to talk about that. Now, this one will seem to be kind of like nuts and bolts, but I have a few more installments that we'll have to do in times to come. So I just want to get this one started today so that you and I can start to build on this. And this is not stuff we don't know. A lot of what we teach is stuff you've already heard. You know what? But Jesus said, remind them of these things.
Yes. Amen.
Part of what the church does is reminds the saints. It's not that you don't know. You probably know as much Bible as I do or any other teacher in the church because you've been studying. Many of you have been studying when I was born. Some of you may have been. And so you probably know quite a bit about it. So, but it's about bringing it fresh into your memory so that when you need it, it's right there in the forefront of your thoughts.
Yes.
It's not something you don't have to dig way back too far to find that the preacher reminds you of what God said. And it's in the forefront of your thoughts. The Holy Spirit is there to remind you of what God said.
Amen.
That's why he says that the Holy Spirit, the other comforter who shall come in my name, he shall lead you and guide you to all truth and bring into your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Isn't that what it says?
Yes.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit is there to remind you. The preacher is there to remind you. Your own conscience is there, and it should bring you into studies in the Word and keep you on your toes with the things of God. Because we get saturated with the world's concepts all through the week.
We do.
And on our jobs, and even if we're retired, it's coming across the TV set or being spoken of out in the public. And all of that. So we want to remember what thus saith the Lord. So let's go ahead and listen today to just the primary couple of texts that I want to talk about first as we open this new study. And this, notice the topic is all in the family, but this will not be about Archie Bunker or any of those kind of folks. I'm talking about the family of God, and I just want to use that. I thought it was a kind of a catchy way to talk about it. So I'm going to ask the deacons to go ahead and read and ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word and just to stretch your legs a little bit there. After that robust time of praise, you may want to just exercise your legs a little bit here and listen, open your ears to hear the Word of the Lord. Amen.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
Amen. Amen. May God bless the reading of the Old Covenant. Now the New Testament scripture reading.
While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of the New Testament. You may be seated.
Amen.
In the presence of the Lord. As I mentioned, we're going to speak with the subject of all in the family. Amen. Families are something that have been around since, as you can see here, from this pronouncement of God that he made them male and female. And that's pretty clear. I don't see how we can have confusion even over that. That's one of the most simple precepts in the Word. But even today, you know, we have various types of confusion. And of course, he said here in this same text, he said, then God said, let us. That's the plurality of the Godhead. People often ask, who is that us? And the fact that it says in our image lets you know that whoever us is has to have the same image.
Yes.
That means it cannot be an angel.
Amen.
It cannot be any inferior being to God. It has to be someone equal to God if he's going to say, let us make God, make man in our image.
Yes.
Because the other things inferior to God don't have the same image of God.
That's right.
According to our likeness, even that, you see, means that whatever these are, whoever this us is all equal.
Yes, it is.
And that's what this text teaches. And then it says, so we believe that's God the Father, God the Son,
yes,
and God the Holy Spirit speaking here. Because it's right during the time of the creation of all things. In fact, at this point, God has made everything that exists.
That's right.
And he has now said at the conclusion of seeing everything that he made that exists, He said, let us make man in our image, after he was done with everything. How many things, let me ask the question, has man made himself or created? None, zero. The only thing, everything man does has to do with something God already created.
That's right.
And we say we discover things, and that's what we do. And you know what? We haven't discovered everything God made.
We haven't.
There's stuff in the world yet to be discovered.
Yeah.
They find new species of animals they didn't know existed.
Right.
We have what we call a periodic chart of elements. They find some other element they didn't know existed and they add to the chart.
Right.
And the chart is getting more and more substances added to it as time goes on.
Yeah.
Because man has still not plumbed the depths of what God has made.
Right.
And so when God here says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, it says, now of course that's, I think of the honor of that statement that God would make man in his image and in his likeness. Isn't that a blessing that God will say, I want you to be in my image and my likeness?
Yes.
What does that mean? That means you have creative benefits, you have creative abilities, you can create, you can design, you can think of things. Doesn't mean that you make any new substances or material, but you have a creative way. And then we can see that that's true. Man has done some creative things. The reality of it is that everything we use to fly an aircraft, to fly through the air right now, was already there when Adam was there. If Adam had had the wisdom or the knowledge, he could have taken the stuff that they eventually found to make aircraft and flew through the air, but he didn't. But the stuff was there. All the raw materials are there. That means anything we have, reactors, computers, anything you want to name, everything was here all the time. Somebody just figured out, oh, I can take this and do this with it and put it together with that and make automobiles and trains and planes, and we can make computers and all the stuff we make. All the raw material has been here all the time. So what happened was man got smarter and figured out how to make stuff. And that's another story. That's just somewhat connected to our lesson here. But what I want you to see is what God did next, it says here, is he created man in his own image. He gave him dominion over everything, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon it. In other words, man is the highest thing on the earth, and he has power and control over everything God made. Now I know in just a little while some of us going to want to go take some dominion over them fish and some of them birds and them fowls and the cattle and all that and put them on the grill. And so we're going to do all that. We'll take dominion here in just a minute, but let's go ahead and move on through our study here a little bit. And so we see God put those man over all those things. It says, and it says here, and God blessed them. Now, you know, what does it mean to bless? The word means to speak well. God spoke well of man. He blessed them. When we bless somebody, we speak well. We want good things to happen to you. And we speak peace and righteousness to your life and blessings and health and prosperity. We bless. We speak well. So God spoke well of man. He blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. He said, I want there to be a lot of you, not just you two, but a lot of you. And there's no monkeys involved right here in this verse. I want to let you know. No other creatures involved. You have dominion over all the creatures. And he started with this high creation, which is in his image and his likeness. It didn't evolve through 49 billion years of animals and zygotes getting out of the ocean and all this. None of that happens here. God made man in his own image. From point blank, second one. He was in his own image, his own likeness. That's what the word says. So don't let anybody fool you with any hogwash. I had a guy once, I went and I asked him out of prison, did anybody have questions? I guess I opened myself up for it. Well, the first question I got is, well, suppose you don't believe God exists. I said, oh, okay, wow, you're going to drop that one on me right here at the service, huh? So I told him, I said, well, sir, the scripture says the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. Yeah, I just let him know. You know, if you think that, you know, what can I say? The word? I didn't say it. Here it is. Let me show you. Psalm 14:1. Psalm 53:1. There's the answer from the word. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
I
told him it's illogical for you to think there isn't a God. When you look at all the beautiful stuff God made. Even yourself. The biology that's in your body is something your body knows and knew before man ever knew that biology existed. Your body's been making chemicals and enzymes and all kinds of stuff all since you came in the world that you didn't have to know a thing about it. If you had to have enough knowledge to understand the processes that your body did for you to live, we would all be dead, probably. I know I would, because I didn't do too good in biology. Some of y'all did good, I guess, when you took it. but had so many words with so many connected syllables. It's like, you gotta be kidding me, I have to remember this. And they make up words to talk about all the stuff that you see in biology all the time. And so I'm just saying, to say that what God made was an automatic system that makes its own blood, makes its own chemicals, and knows when to grow and when to stop. And it's amazing, the body, the human body. And it's no accident. You couldn't evolve a thing like that. And what the people who say it, or scientists say, they say, well, they just add another few billion years to it and that'll take care of it. No, that makes it more ignorant than it was the first day when you see it. Because that means that stuff came out of total chaos into complete perfection, and then it stopped right there and didn't change. Well, that makes no sense. No one with a logical mind can really believe that. And so we don't want to get sucked into the vacuum of what people say. God said he made them male and female, and says he blessed them. He spoke well. God's not against man. He loves man. That was how he showed his love. The fact that I make you in my image and my likeness. You know, I bless you with all of this earth, with all this potential, so you could be blessed, and spoke well, told you to go into it. Look what he said there. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. I want you to fill it up with people. Now, we like that part. That's what one pastor I had said. That's the only command God gave that man didn't break. That's to be fruitful and multiply. Say, wow, well, we did that one. We love that one, don't we? The rest of them we don't like so much. But it looks like we love that, be fruitful and multiply. Because look at all the people, 6.5 billion people on the earth. So we've been fruitful and we have multiplied. And fill the earth and subdue it. Subdue means learn, take over it, make it yield its secrets to you. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God always had a good intention for man, even from the very beginning when he made him. So it's obvious that the Almighty God who made everything has placed it, everything he made, and all under the control and the use of man, whom he had made in his image and his likeness. And he has displayed his love for us in a way that he gave, the way he gave. Look at what he gave. How much do you think the earth is worth? If you can put a dollar amount on it, you can't even think of it. It's an unfathomable thing to think, isn't it? And by what he gave to invest in human progress, success, and happiness. This is what God did. Gave you an earth rich and abundant in diamonds, gold, silver, precious stones, dirt, all kinds of stuff. Just, you can just go on forever naming the beauty and the magnitude. What would you think if you could put a dollar amount on the earth? You can't do it, right? Blows your mind just to think about it. You know, you even have to pay a dollar for a bottle of water these days around here. So I mean, come on now. Imagine that. Add up those dollars and figure that out. You know, but in either case, God was blessing man. He wants man to prosper. He wants man to progress. He wants man to have success and happiness. He doesn't want you to do that at the expense of not knowing who he is.
Right.
So, and he wants to be a part of your family. He's the one who initiated you. He gave birth to you. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? He said to Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews that came to him by night, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again, Jesus said. And that's going to be very important as we talk about family and what's all in the family. Now here we see God wants man to be successful and blessed. So you and I, he doesn't want that at the expense of having no relationship with him.
That's right.
And so what we want to see here is that according to the standards set by our Creator of giving us dominion over his entire creation, it is also obvious that he has done everything so well for us to show us all that it's his desire for us to have us all in his family. He wanted all people to be saved, in other words. That's what that means. God was not thinking that some people would not believe him and not be saved. He wanted them all to admire the grandeur of his creation and understand that he is and believe that he is, because the Bible says it's not his desire that any should perish.
Yes.
So God is not the one militating against people. People militate against God. They come against him. So however, due to the corruption of sin, that's what made the difference. When a man had sinned, it has been developed into every form of selfishness, lust, greed, covetousness, hatred, animosity, envy, and every other manifestation of the fall of man to disrupt the possibility of us all being in one family and being harmonious with the Almighty. So that's what sin did when it came in, is it separated man from God and caused her to be rebellion against God. And we saw that early on, all the way back when even the first two sons the Bible tells us about, of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. One of them loved God and did right, and the other one did not. Mm-hmm. And God tolerated Cain even after he killed his brother, the first murderer. And so we see that family troubles are not anything new. That's one thing I want you to see. There's nothing new, the things about the family. Family is as old as the world, all the way back to when God first created man. And so we're going to talk about some things, because there's a lot of these other things that influence us as members of a family that we want to talk about. We want to beat some of the stakes out of the wood pile, if you will,
right,
so that it can help you with your relationships with other people in your family, your physical family, and also some things that will help you steer your life toward what God wants for you ultimately. Some of us are single who are here. Some of us are married. Some of us are divorced. Some of us are widowed. Some of us are all in different kinds of stages as far as where we stand in a family. But we're all still connected to someone, somewhere, either a brother, a sister, cousin, an uncle, a niece, a nephew, or something. So we do have these family relationships, and we want to take out of the scripture in this study some of what you can do in your situation to improve the quality of your life based on what God has said in his word. That's the whole sum of the course of this. That's why I wanted to do this one kind of as an introduction. And I want you to look quickly before we move a little further at Matthew chapter 12, this section that the deacons have read. Now, this is Jesus. He has come at his first advent, as we call it. And while he yet talked to the people, he was there teaching. There was multitudes of people all around him. There were some things circulating in the crowd against him. And because some people had mixed ideas about who Jesus was, why he came, and what the outcome of his coming would be. So it says here, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother, this would be Mary as we know her, and his brethren, that would be her natural children by Joseph and her, who had lived there with them while they were living in Nazareth, they stood without, they were outside, desiring to speak with him. They couldn't get in. There were so many people pressed in on Jesus. They were right, like out at the fringes of the crowd. They had to send a word through, go in there and tell him we're out here, because we can't get close enough to him to talk with him. That's what we see here in this text in Matthew 12.
Yeah.
And they were desiring to speak with him. See that? And so one of them said in verse 12:47, the one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother, my brother, and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. See that? He said, you know what? My spiritual brothers and sisters and mother are closer to me than my fleshly brothers, mother, and sisters. You see that? That's why he told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So there's a difference between your spiritual family and your physical family, if you will. And so this was the first advent of Messiah. And when the first advent of Messiah, Jesus the Christ, was in progress, his natural family feared for his life.
Yes.
Due to the impact of the truth which he had proclaimed. Jesus was telling the truth, and it was stepping on people's toes. Because the stuff they taught was not what God said.
Yes.
And he was straightening out stuff that they had mistaught in the temple, things of that sort. And there was a rumor going around, well, we got to get rid of him because he's teaching against our doctrine, and so on and so forth. Some people were so religious, they missed God.
Yes, they did.
When he came. And so we have to be careful about that today in the church. You have some threat of that going on.
Yeah.
But there were death threats on Christ going around.
Yes.
His mother had heard him, and she was not happy. She was not happy that they're threatening my son.
Mm-hmm.
So just go get him, tell him, come on out of there. We'll just go home, and let's just stop this.
Right.
That's what she wanted. As a mother, she was trying to protect him. And so she sent that word, but Jesus' answer was provocative, if you ask me.
Yeah.
He said, who is my mother? And he didn't mean that irreverently.
No.
He just said the people who are thinking godly thoughts are the people who are my brothers and my mother and my sister. You and I have to feel that. There's a camaraderie that we have as being believers in the Word of God. You know what? You are an odd few.
Yeah.
Out of all the people in the world. A whole lot of people think of it. Because you know what? They threw the Bible out of the center of the public square 50 years ago. Most of us in here, a lot of us are under 50 years old. Some of y'all are thinking, thank you. Over there. But and some of y'all didn't, your whole life has been in a world with, where the Bible is pushed out.
Yeah.
And spoken evil against.
Yeah. Yes.
And so it's really important for you to really get into the Word and understand that you are a few. You're not the many. You are the few.
Yeah.
The ones of you who trust and believe that what God said is what He meant.
Mm.
Now, you know, just because the country threw it out doesn't mean that all the people threw it out.
Right.
And so we need to remain in the Word. Just like his mother here, she's going back to a fleshly thing. Hey, we got to look out for you. She doesn't realize her son is the Most High God.
Yeah.
And he can do whatever he wants.
Right.
I'm the one who created you. I chose you out of all the 42 generations of the seed of Abraham to bear me into the flesh. I sent my angel to beget a seed in your womb so that I could come and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord to the multitudes. She didn't know that, but he overlooks it and he basically says, who is my mother and who is my brother and my sisters? The ones who believe the Word of God. Because it was by the Word of God that Messiah had appeared at the time that he did, and that's why he's the most famous person in the world even today. And so we can proclaim that, and so they feared for his life, for the truth that he proclaimed, which seemed to militate against the status quo. He was against the people who were in charge, in other words, and the way things were at that time. And the teaching of the religious leadership, he was speaking against that because they had twisted God's word. And he was bringing threats of hostility out in the street. People were talking about how they're going to get rid of Jesus. People like Judas were plotting how he could force his hand to make him overtake the kingdom. All these kind of things are going on. And his mother was, and his brothers and his sister were afraid for him. But he then stated the fact that the true division of true family members was with the people who hear the word of God and keep it. You know, that's the real people of God. Doesn't make any difference what anybody else says. You and I have a closeness because we believe the truth that supersedes some of the closenesses or, let's say, or the lack thereof we have sometimes with family members who are not believing.
Right.
So we want to talk about that. And these things affect us. You know what? Because the world says, you know, if you don't like that sucker you're married to, go get a $25 divorce.
Yeah.
Or whatever. They made divorce a cheap, easy thing.
Yeah.
But God said, I hate divorce. I hate it. You know, certain things God hates, and we have to be aware of that. You know what? If you love things, there's things you hate. The opposite of the things you love are the things you hate. You know? And so primarily the world has said whatever, you know, they've even said whatever, it doesn't have to be a man and a woman, it could be any two agreeing individuals. Oh, really? God made them in his own image and he created them male and female.
Yeah.
See, so you and I need to stick to the book.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be popular. There'll be people who hate you.
That's
because
right.
You believe the truth.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you, you hate me because you don't believe in the lifestyle I want to live.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was born this way, and so on and so forth. And you know what? I would challenge any of them. I say, you were born that way. I bet you when the doctor picked you up, he said, oh, it's a boy.
Right.
Or it's a girl.
Amen.
He wasn't in no question about what you were. He said, oh, it's a boy. Smack. Hand you to the mother.
Right.
Or it's a girl. Smack here. Hand you to the mother. No confusion.
No confusion.
So you may have went through something since then that got you thinking something else.
Yeah.
But the doctor was not confused. They wrote it on your birth certificate.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I don't know where the confusion came in, but somewhere along the line, you got confused. And we need to look back at what God said and let God fix anything that's wrong with us. Now, I know a lot of people who have heard about a lot, and I actually know a few personally, who had struggles with those kind of things in their lives.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have struggles with it in their mind, and you don't even ever hear about it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You never hear about it.
That's right.
Probably somebody sitting right here.
Right.
And we need help. We need to be able to understand that we need to get back on track. track with what God said, and pray that God gives us a mind to stay on his word and on the truth. Because otherwise temptations come. Now, and I'm going to say this and I'm almost done. You know, when Jesus, his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray, like John taught his disciples how to pray. And he said, well, when you pray, pray in this manner. What did he say? Our Father, hallowed be thy name, hallowed the name of God, thy kingdom come. Always looking at the kingdom first, right. Exalting God first. Right. Thy will be done. That's the first thing.
Right.
On earth as it is in heaven. Then you ask for what you need. Give us this day our daily bread.
Right.
And forgive us our trespasses, because we know we sin. Sometimes we don't do right.
Yep.
Forgive us. As we forgive those who trespass against us, mutual forgiveness.
Yep.
Lead us not into temptation. I think we go over that one too.
Yes, we do.
Lead us not into temptation. There's stuff that tempts you.
Yes.
And you ask God, lead me not into temptation. But deliver me from evil. That means when the temptation to do evil comes in my mind, God, help me do your will instead of that thing I'm thinking.
Yeah. Amen.
Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me. Bring me out. Don't let me go down that road.
Yes.
So he's letting you know that's part of the spiritual warfare in your mind, is you're going to be tempted.
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to be tempted with sexual sin. You're going to be tempted with any kind of good things that God teaches that are moral and good for your life. You're going to be tempted to do the opposite.
That's right. Amen.
You know, you're going to be tempted to cheat on something.
Yes.
You know, taxes, whatever it is, because I might be able to get away with this. Just put this down.
Yeah.
Okay? And the devil will say, yeah, go ahead, put that down.
Yeah.
Because then he's going to laugh at you when you get the bill and the tax man that figured you out that you did that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now they're going to come hard at you and put you really on the hot seat after all that.
Yeah.
So different things, you will be tempted.
That's right.
And I think we need to train the saints a little bit more to realize temptation is normal.
Yes, is.
Temptation is not sin. How about that?
Yeah. Amen.
You can be tempted. And it's not sin. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. So that means you can be tempted. The temptation to do wrong is not wrong. But it's wrong if you entertain it and you decide to go with it. You see what I'm saying? So we need to spend more time in that area. How do we get the temptations that come into our mind to stop? And Paul said this, and I'm going to be done here. He said, we are casting down imaginations and every lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and are taking into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a big statement. In other words, stuff comes in my mind and I imagine ungodly stuff. And he says, we have to take that stuff captive and make it obedient to the truth, to Christ. And that's easier said than done. He says, we're casting down imaginations. The stuff you would imagine that you would entertain in your mind, it's a temptation to you. He says, we're casting down imaginations. Bring that down. It's on a lofty throne above the word of God. He's saying, go ahead on with it. You know, people in the streets are telling you, go ahead on with it. We doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. God didn't strike me with lightning.
Mm.
No, he ain't struck you yet. You know, he ain't struck you yet. That don't mean it ain't coming.
Yeah.
You know, just because he hadn't smitten you doesn't mean you won't go get a bad report from your doctor.
Amen.
There's a lot of stuff that can bring you down.
Right.
But see, God is merciful. He loves man. He wants families to be right. He wants people to be right. But you and I, he won't do it against your will. Hello. That's the thing people don't understand. Just because they say, oh, I will to do this and go and do it. God doesn't want to force you to do right. He could. But then, you know what? You don't love me if I got to force you to do it.
That's right.
Right.
If I got to chain you down and keep you to be my woman, then you are not my woman.
Right.
As soon as I cut the chain loose, you're gone. That's going to be it. Or as soon as you figure out a way to get loose or cut the bedpost off so you can get that leg chain off, you're gone. So that doesn't work, does it? Your love has to be, you want to be with me.
Right.
I want to be with you. I want to be with you. I want to stay with you. I want to do what we need to do together.
Yeah.
It's got to be mutual.
That's it.
And it needs to be a free will or there is no love.
Right.
So God doesn't want a relationship like that. You don't love me, you just want to violate me, go ahead.
Right.
It's going to hurt you because I know that's not the best for you.
Right.
When you get through with it, it boils down, it's going to hurt you.
Yes, it is.
But if you come to me, that's what Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Right.
You know, you struggle with a thing. He said, come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke up on you. I want you to say, I need to be taught by you. I put the yoke on. Not that you're forcing me into a yoke.
That's right.
Take my yoke up on you and learn from me. But my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you come to me, I'm going to make it smooth it out for you so stuff starts to go right for you in your life. I'm going to give you the strength you need to conquer the stuff that you're battling with. You know what? We can't do it on our own. And I think that's the problem sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to say, Lord, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
This situation is over me. It's dominating my life.
That's it.
But I want you to break the chains, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. So let me get in your yoke. Let me yoke up with you. And you, he promised, if you do that, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me.
Yes.
That's why you need to have somebody break the word of God down to you so you can learn from God.
Amen.
God is the teacher. The Holy Spirit, he'll execute the things that God has taught you in your life and give you the strength and the power you never had.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we start with that, inviting you into the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what? No matter what anyone has done, I have to proudly announce, the Bible says that there were many who did those same things right here in the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He said, he talked about all those different sins that people committed. And they had committed a number of sins, but he said, such were some of you to the Corinthians.
That's right.
So it doesn't make any difference what you did before. Makes no difference what you've been struggling with. Such were some of you. He said, but you were washed, the Spirit of God, and washed by the blood of Jesus.
Right.
And so there's a whole lot of people here. I bet you we started to be very candid, which we normally don't. I usually do. I tell you about a lot of stuff, but there's a whole other thing, a set of stuff that's troubled me in my life that I would not dare mention.
Yeah.
You know, but it's some ugly stuff that God kind of cleansed out of my life.
Yeah.
There's some stuff I still have in my mind that still troubles me, even now.
Yeah.
So you are always a work in progress. That's why it says in Ephesians 2 and 8, it says, therefore, by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, in other words, God gave you the faith. It is the gift of God. That's why it says it's the gift of God. Next, not of works. It's not by anything you work or by your power. He says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You have nothing to boast about. And then he says, why? For we are his workmanship.
Yeah.
You and I are God's workmanship.
Yeah.
The word there in the Greek is poiemas. We're a poem that God is writing to the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them.
Right.
Now you and I were before ordained to walk in good works. God wants us to walk in good works. He's able to make that so in your life.
Amen.
You know what? He wants you to say, Lord, I need this. Please do that to me. He won't force his way into your life. You know, in the book of Revelation, there's a verse where it says there, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, I'm not busting in your door. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man opens unto me, he wants you to open the door. He says, I will come in. I will sup with him. You know, in other words, I'll come in and dine with you. You think I would come in and be mad at you and bring a stick and say, what you do that for? And hit you three or four times. No, I'm not going to bust in. I'm waiting you to open the door and I'll come in and sup with you. Whole different thing. You know, and you with me. In other words, God said, as soon as you open the door and let me in, I'll come in. You know, because it has to be freedom. God wants you to freely accept what you need and know that he has exactly what you need. And so he loves you just like you are. You have never done anything for which he will not forgive you. And I say that because if you're breathing, you can still trust God.
Yes.
So it doesn't make any difference what you're involved in. You may have just come in the door from doing something heinous. God says, I will forgive you if you trust in me. He wants it to be your willful devotion to him.
Right.
See, you know what? When I got broke down by some of the stuff I was doing, and I was in a situation where I said, well, you know what? The messed up as this is, I waited that long before I asked. I said, nobody can help me but God. And I was hearing my grandmother say, when you ever get where you're overwhelmed, call on Jesus Christ, call on the Lord. And she'd been dead since I was a kid, 9 years old. And I was about in my 20s. And I said, Lord, help me. And you know what? He came immediately to my rescue.
Yes, thank you.
It blew my mind. I didn't really realize that had happened until after it was in progress. And I knew when sometimes the urges that I had to do the stuff I was doing at that time, I didn't have it anymore. And I had strength not to do that anymore. See? And I even went to somebody's house. I think I may have told y'all this, and I hope I'm not boring you with the same story. I went to a person's house I used to practice smoking with. And they were sitting right there smoking like they always were. And he said, well, come on in and get you a hit. And I looked, I said, nah, I'm not doing that anymore. He said, oh, you're not? Oh, okay. Took a big hit and blew the smoke right on me. And usually the smell of it is enough to draw you right back to it. And I said, well, hey, look, I got to go. I'm out of here. I turned around and walked out, closed the door, went down the steps. As I was going out the door, he said, oh, you'll be back. I said, no, I'm not coming back here no more. Not for this. And I went out. When I was leaving, I knew something has happened. There's been a change. Because it used to be that would be it. You'd be right back in there in full force doing that mess again. But so many times you didn't want to do it all the time. You never did. It's like slavery. You don't want to do it. You know, but you're stuck in it. And you just keep on doing it again and again and again. And it was not until the Lord strengthened me after I asked God to help me. I saw that dude did that. I said, no, sir, I got to go. And I knew I can't stay here now and keep on letting you blow smoke on me. But that's going to weaken me and I'm going to get stuck again. I got up and left. When I left, I knew something else has happened here. I thank God. And it continued on like that to the point I never touched any of it again, ever in life. And that's why I tell people, you can bring a semi-tractor truck full of cocaine and park it out here. I'm not going to go anywhere near it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run straight to the phone and call the police. Tell them, Lord, police come out here, get this truck, whoever's in it, lock them up, take them away, because they're trying to kill people. But God will free you, whatever it is you're dealing with. Doesn't make any difference.
It will.
Makes no difference. If you trust him, he will give you victory. It's the only one. There's a lot of hard stuff to deal with in life. But we're here for whoever it is. It's the alcoholic, the drug addict, sex addict, whatever it is, we're here. Homosexual, doesn't make a difference. The Bible says such were some of you.
That's right.
You know, extortioners, all kinds of people are mentioned in that list. Covetous, greedy, thieves, idolaters, all kinds of people. Such were some of you. He said. So if you're here today and you need to be set free and you want the Lord to bless your life, we invite you to come at this time. If you put your hand in his hand, he will not let you down. He'll give you the strength you need to overcome anything you're dealing with. And if you've been struggling with it and haven't been able to do it yourself, that's why. Because the flesh is weak. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus even struggled with that, although he didn't cave in. Even when he was sweating great drops of blood. It said there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went there and he told his disciples, pray with me a little while. He was making preparation to go to the cross. And you know what they did? Went to sleep. Eyes got heavy, they went to sleep. So he had no one there to assist him and aid him at all. No one but the Father. And the Father is here for you. He can aid you and assist you. Now, no one else. People may have turned the door, slammed the door on you, whatever you're going through. And a lot of times that's the case. People burn all the bridges. I don't have anybody else I can go to. You know, but you can always come to the Lord. He says, I'm here for you. I love you just like you are. I have always loved you. This is a good thing I learned about God. You think, oh, he's against me because I'm stuck in this sin trap. The truth is, he loves you all the time. And it's his grace and mercy that kept you from being consumed by the sin that you were doing.
Amen.
And he says, I can let you free whenever you're ready. Just ask me and I will give you the power. That's the way it works. So if you're here today and you want him to empower you, pray with me. Lord God, we praise and bless you. Father, we come in our human weakness to ask you to set us free, Lord. Somebody may be hearing me either in the sanctuary or if not in the sanctuary, Lord, by way of internet, however they're hearing our message. It needs to be set free. God, we know you can do it, Father. We can't do it. We're weak. Our minds are overtaken, Lord, with sin and many times, God, in many cases. But we've heard the good news that if we trust you and put our hand in your hand, that you're knocking at the door to open and come in and sup with us. And so, Lord God, we pray you come into our lives, fill us with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Give us the strength to overcome everything that is not like you. Father, help us to be the family of people that you are calling for in these last and evil days. Strengthen us, God, against every sin, every temptation. Deliver us from every form of evil, O God. that we might truly represent you in these last and evil days. Father, there are struggles that sometimes are extremely difficult, Father. Sometimes we're tempted in many ways. But we know, God, that by your grace, by your mercy, by your Holy Spirit, by your word, that you can cleanse and wash any of us, God, if we just trust you. It's a trust issue. Teach us to trust you a little further, Father, and then come closer to you, Lord. You said, draw nigh unto God, and you will draw nigh unto us. And so, Lord God, we invite you into our houses and our spirit. We don't want you to stand at the door, Lord God. Come on in the house. Make yourself at home, oh God. Help us, oh God, to be able to just trust you in everything. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Save somebody listening to this voice today, God. And we give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Another invitation we'd like to extend is for people who are saved and you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy. We always extend that as we say we roll out the red carpet for you. We might be changing it to some other kind here shortly. But right now we roll out the red carpet. If you want to come at this time to be a member of St. Timothy, we would like to invite you and let you know you are among people who are like you, that care about you. We are a good family. I love our family here. Everybody here is into the word, and it's a good family. Very, very good.
Yes.
And I have so much more good fellowship sometimes, even than with some other folks in my family, unfortunately. Not that I don't want them to be into it, but sometimes they're just not. But I know I can call certain people here any time of day or night, and they're there for me, and I appreciate that. Amen. So this is a different kind of family. So if you want to be a part of this, the invitation has been extended. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none.
Amen.
But yet there is room. Amen. So we're just at the tip of the study. So be prepared to be with us in the rest of the lessons that are going to come forth. I promise you there'll be things that will bless your life. Amen. So if all minds are clear, we want to thank the visitors who are here today. I think we have children visiting us today.
Amen.
So we thank God for the children. Amen. And we pray for their mom and that everything will go well with her. Amen. Amen. Birth, that whole birth thing is amazing. We always don't let me start up on it. It really is. It's just amazing. I know I was thinking about when children were born, how when you first have a kid, some of y'all know this who have had kids or been around someone who did, it's scary as it can be. Scary as the daylights out of you. Then after a while, it's like, okay. So Lisa was, I had talked to her, she was about to lose her mind. I said, well, yeah, everything will be fine. When you have a few, you get a little bit more confidence about how that works. When you first having that first one, it scares the daylights out of you. So anyway, either case, we'll talk about that later on. Amen. So if all minds are clear, let us stand and we might receive the benediction. We know somebody is trying to go take dominion over some of the fish of the sea and birds of the air and all that kind of thing. So we're going to let you go so you can do that. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. We exalt you, Father. We thank you for the goodness of your word, Father, and of your spirit. Thank you for your presence, Lord. And we need you, Lord, in our lives. And we ask you to work in us, God, that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Be with us, oh God, as we go down from this place. As we travel to our various destinations, bless us all for this Memorial Day weekend, Lord, that we would all be safe and sound, oh God, and we would celebrate the freedom that you have given us. In the name of Jesus, bless us, oh God, together, bless us apart. Be with us, oh God, and we will give you the praise and all the honor and the glory. So as we go down from this place and travel to our various destinations, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. So now to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. And the church said together,
amen.
Let the church say,